GLC presents brought to you by the donations of our faithful partners.
Shalom and welcome back to another episode or another show that we're going to have here talking about what is the gospel. If you were with me the last session, and I hope that you were eager and were willing to go back and verify some of the information, we found out why the Messiah needed to resurrect from the dead. Then, you know, if he resurrects from the dead, then he comes in as a new man. That's why Paul is talking about that. You see, he, the first Adam, brought forth death into the world because he disobeyed the Torah, the commandments of God. Therefore, the last Adam bring forth a quickening of life. What does that mean? As we studied it out, if we go back to the screen, let's do a quick recap so we can get into the next session. Now, we find out who the five husbands of the Samaritan woman was. The Babylonian empires and the Persians and the Greeks and the Syrians and the Egyptians. And the one that she had that it was not hers was the Romans. So we know that the northern kingdom, which are composed of 10 tribes, they were found idolaters. In the Bible, exile can equal divorce. Okay, in Leviticus 26, verse 13 says, "But if you will not hearken unto me, I will not do all these commandments. In other words, if you're not Shema, if you're not listen, obey. In Leviticus 26, 33 says, "And I will scatter you among the heathen." In other words, the condition of the covenant is, if you do not obey me or follow my commandments, then you're going to be scattered. Are we scattered among the nations? I'm proved that I am. I'm a Sephardic Jew. I'm descendants of Hebrews from Spain, and I live in Puerto Rico, moved to the States. Why? Because my forefathers, we have sinned against Hashem, Yahweh. We have sinned against our Creator, so therefore we broke the covenant of marriage, and the penalty is dispersion. Now, Jeremiah 3:8, to do a quick recap. "And I saw for all the other causes whereby backslidden Israel," notice, there's a distinction between Israel and Judah, "committed adultery, and I put her away, giving her a bill of divorce. Yet her treasured sister Judah fear not, but went and played the harlot also." So the northern and the southern kingdoms were harlots. According to Ezekiel, it speaks about that too. Okay? "But only the northern kingdom was given a bill of divorce, bill of get." Now we know Yahweh doesn't divorce his people. He's not unfaithful. It was Israel. We transgressed against him. We were the ones who turned our backs to him. That's what really backslidden means. When you're backslidden, you're turning your back to the presence of Yahweh. You're turning your back to who? To your husband. You're going away. Which way did they go after they got exiled? Northeast and east. Judah went east to Babylon, and the northern kingdom went northeast to Assyria. So as we see, this is all prophetic to what we're trying to find out. If you want to know more about the restoration of the houses of Israel, then you have to look into the book of 1 and 2 Kings. You have to look into the book of Jeremiah, the book of Hosea. By the way, the book of Acts 15 is based solely on the book of Hosea. And you're going to find that in book Acts chapter 15, in reference to those Gentiles coming into the faith, is in fact relating to the lost sheep of the house of Israel who are scattered among the Gentiles, and many Gentiles who are grafting themselves into Israel. They have to go through a procedure. And you find that the northern kingdom in the book of Hosea did every single thing and transgressed against Yahweh, in which in Acts 15 is trying to bring order too. So you follow that very closely, you see it. Moving on. As we go here, it says Jeremiah 3:1 says, Then they say, "If a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and becomes another man's, shall he return unto her again?" No. According to Deuteronomy 24, he can't. The first husband gave a bill of divorce. The second husband died. Who are the second husbands in the story of Israel? Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Greeks, the Romans. Those kingdoms died. They are no longer alive anymore. The kingdoms are not. The system's still in place, but not the kingdom. You follow? We got the system of Babylon, and we got the system of Roman Empire, but we don't have the kingdom. You follow? It's a big difference. Now, shall not the land be greatly polluted? Absolutely. And that's why the land was desolate. Because Israelites, they didn't keep. Why did they get sent to Judah? To Babylon. Why did Judah get sent to Babylon for 70 years? Because for 490 years, they did not keep the laws of the Shemitah. The Shemitah are the resting of the land on the seventh year, found in the book of Leviticus, Vayikra. So therefore, Israel, for 490 years, they did not observe the commandment of letting the land rest, having its rest on the seventh year, which is a type and shadow of a prophecy, was going to have it on the 7,000 year of creation, in which the land for the 1,000 year millennial reign is actually the seventh day from creation, the 7,000 year. So Yahweh is trying to teach Israel through by the observance on those things literally on the earth was going to happen later on in the millennial reign. But they did not observe those things. So therefore they were penalized. And the book of Leviticus says that for every 7 years, one year of judgment, that is mercy and grace. So they were sent to Babylon for 70 years exactly. And right after the 70 years, after the land rested and it got its rest, then the children of Israel or the children of Judah came back, but not all of them came back. Going back to the slide, please. Now, but you have played the harlot with many lovers, yet return to me, says Yahweh. How? He can't do that, because in Deuteronomy 24, like I read earlier, if the first husband gives a bill of get, and the second husband dies, he can't take her. The first husband cannot take the wife back. I hope you're understanding. So the first husband is Yeshua. Second husband, the other gods or the other kingdoms, or Ashtaroth, or the Baal. By the way, the word Baal in Hebrew means master or husband. See, the word Ashtaroth is actually Easter in modern day language. Okay. So what's interesting is that Easter is a fertility goddess of the sun god worship of Mithraism. Going back to the screen, please. So how would he return? How can Israel return back? It says the only way that Yeshua can redeem his adulterous wife, who married other gods and was exiled, divorced, and not violate his Torah, is to die and resurrect from the dead. So it's interesting that that's exactly what Paul is trying to teach you. Because if you go all the way to Romans 11, people start reading Romans in chapter 10, verse 9, that if you confess Yeshua with your mouth, you shall be saved, right? But if you confess him, the word confess in Greek means homologeo, and one of the definitions of the Greek word homologeo is covenant. So you have entered into a covenant of marriage through Yeshua the Messiah. Okay, and you have to do what? Graft yourself into Israel. That's why on chapter 11, Rav Shaul is teaching you that now you are grafted into the tree, and we're going to touch on this today. I hope you stick with me through the next few weeks, because if you do not, then you're going to lose sight, and then you're going to think I'm saying what I'm not saying. So, you know, then you can order the CDs here from DVDs from GLC, but I highly recommend you stay with us. It's a very important teaching, in my opinion. Now, in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Notice something very interesting. Remember that Peter was talking to who? To the strangers that are scattered abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Bithynia, Cappadocia, and those places. James 1:1 says that he was writing to the 12 tribes that were scattered abroad. So therefore, Paul now is writing to the Romans. Not the Gentile Romans, but the Jews and the Israelites who were exiled in Rome. If you do some historical accounts, you know that the word ghetto began in Rome, by the way. Get is the Hebrew word for divorce. Get it? Ghetto. Okay, so what's interesting is Romans chapter 7, the good news goes out. Yeshua resurrects from the dead. And he tells the disciples, go preach the gospel, the good news. What is the good news? That they can come back into the covenant. They're no longer cut off. And Romans is trying to convey that message. And listen to how he begins in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, and then parentheses, for I speak to them that know the law. Brothers and sisters, whoever you're listening to, if you do not believe that the law of Moses or the Torah of Moses still binding today, that the instructions of Yahweh, the commandments given on Mount Sinai are not for us today, then chapter 7 all the way to the end of the book of Romans does not apply to you. Why? Because when the book of Romans was, the letters to Romans were written, there were no chapters and verses. So you have to read the whole thing. You can't just pick and choose any verse you want. Okay, so he says, for I speak to them that know the law. Which law is he talking about? The Torah, because that's the only book that Paul had when he was alive. The New Testament was not canonized to that point. The New Testament was canonized as a book almost 300 years later. How that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. You see, I want you to make the connection between those verses and Deuteronomy 24. So in your Bibles, when you open them, go back, I hope you open them, read, open it up to Deuteronomy 24, verse 1 through 4, and then you see that Paul is giving you a midrash. He's giving you a study. He's looking into the text, and he is connecting Yeshua, the Messiah, and the dispersed of Israel, who are scattered through the whole world, giving them the good news. Hey, come back to the covenant. Why? Because Messiah did it for you, and this is how he does it. In verse 2, for the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, he is loosed from the law of her husband. That is true. She's no longer married. But what's interesting is that Yeshua had what is called the Passover Seder. He had Passover. And he did something very peculiar. He said, you shall see me no more until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But he took of the cup. And how many disciples were there before Judas Iscariot, he left? There were 12 tribes. They all came into covenant. This is the blood of the covenant. You see, he's restoring the covenant. Then he dies. Then he resurrects from the dead as a new man. Therefore, able to take his bride back again because he's not breaking the commandment now. I hope that makes sense to you. It's exciting to me because when I found this out, it explained why he needed resurrected. He needed to be resurrected. Without the resurrection of Messiah, we have to pack our bags and go home. Okay, if this did not happen, then we're wasting time. We're basically serving a Messiah who was a good man back in the first century, and we have misled. So this better be true. But you see, what happens is in the New Testament, the Brihat Hashah, there's evidence that it is true because we have the testimony of people who wrote these things in context. When we go back in the screen, please, and we see verse 3, it says, so then, if her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. You see? So Yeshua cannot stay alive because she already married. Not Judah. Remember, Judah was still in covenant. How do we know? They're back in the land. See? God made a promise to who? To Solomon and David. For David's sake, he will always keep a tribe in Israel to be a lamp, to bear testimony. Who's back in the land? All of the Jews? All of Israel? 12 tribes? No. Jews. Judah. And Benjamin, you follow? That's why we know. Okay? So what's interesting is he says, I hope you're enjoying this. I get all excited. Boy, I tell you, the word of Yahweh just comes alive, doesn't it? It's exciting times we're living in when we can take the word of Yahweh and then we can see the revelation in these last days and we can start putting the dots together. I mean, I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning and I get excited because for the first time in my life, I could open the word of Yah and understand what in the world's happening. How many of you have read the scriptures? You open the Bible, and sometimes you don't even know what it's really saying. You try to bring forth the spiritual application, but you don't really know the background. I'm hoping I'm helping you. Okay, let's go back to the screen. And it says, but if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is not adulterous, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, verse 4, my brethren, you also are becoming dead to the law by the body of Messiah. That doesn't mean that you are what? Not supposed to keep the commandment. Because you see, you're dead to the law. What law? The law of marriage on Mount Sinai. I understand that. But when you confess Messiah with your mouth, you took back that covenant again. Through the blood of Messiah. You follow? Now with the blood of bulls and goats. So now what's interesting, it says that you should be married another man, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto Elohim. Now Paul is trying to give you a pretty good study of what's happening here. In Romans chapter 10... and 11, he's explaining to you how you can be back in the covenant. But in Romans 11, he says that you are grafted in. Wait a minute. We have been taught that we're grafted in. Right? But no one ever tells you to what? Oh, some people say to Christ. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Let's go back to the screen. Let's find out who the olive tree is. Jeremiah 11, verse 16 says, Yahweh, call thy name a green olive tree, fair and on goodly fruit, and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he has kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. You see what I mean? So therefore, Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu, gives you the definition of what Paul is trying to tell you. In other words, Romans 11 is based on what? On Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 16. Says Jeremiah verse 17, say 11 verse 17 says, for Yahweh of hosts planted you, you see? So the tree is Israel, has pronounced evil of who? The house of Israel and of the house of Gentiles there. There's not a house. That's why Paul says you need to be grafted into the commonwealth of Israel to be part of the common of the people of God. Okay? Now, going back to the screen, I want to show you something. The redeemed olive tree is the house of Jacob in Messiah. Now, the house of Jacob means all 12 tribes, not Judah, which is modern-day Judaism. You do not need to convert to modern-day Judaism to be part of Israel. You just need to be grafted yourself in by faith, just like the Bible says, and believe in our Messiah to be part of Israel. So there's two houses, remember that. But what does it say in Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33? He shall be great. This is when the angel is talking to who? To Miriam. It says, he shall be great, the Messiah, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. The throne of his father David is an idiom for the kingdom which is composed of 12 tribes. And it says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. The house of Jacob is another idiom in the Torah and the prophets that is talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So therefore, the kingdom forever will be what? The house of Jacob, not the house of Gentiles. If anybody wants to be part of the house of Jacob, just graft yourself in by faith through our high priest and Messiah, Yeshua, and you are welcome as part of Israel. That is your identity. That is who we are. Amen? Now let's go to the slide again, please. The new covenant was made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Nowhere in that verse is to say that it's a new covenant with a Gentile. Now, in Hebrews verse chapter 8, verse 8 says, for finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. The word new in the Greek there is kainos. The word new in Greek in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8 is kainos. What it basically means in Greek that there's two Greek words that can mean new or renewed. The word for new in Greek is neos, N-E-O-S, which is Strong's 3501. But the word that is using there is kainos, which means what? In freshness, renewed, not brand new. So it's a renewed covenant. And this is one of the biggest stumbling blocks that a lot of my Jewish brothers, being Jewish myself, you know, a lot of my Jewish brothers that are rabbis in Israel, when you say a new covenant, they recognize that Yahweh can never change. And that he can never change his mind in regards to Israel. So when you say that now Messiah just did away with Israel and now the Gentiles are Israel, spiritual Israel, a true Jew will never accept that. There's no replacement theology here. Yahweh gave his word to promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's what Israel came from. Therefore, it's forever. And in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, 32 and 33 says that he will rule, what? The house of Jacob forever. Now, you can be grafted in. Anybody who believes in the name of the Lord can be grafted in. But you have to do it by faith, and you have to be obedient to the commandment. Going back to the slide. Now, the Torah is the ketuvah, the marriage contract. Okay? So, the Torah, the five books of Moses, is the marriage contract. We can prove this. I don't have time to go into this right now. But, you know, we can go into this a little bit more. So, now, what's interesting is, all this was already established in the Garden of Eden. And what I'm going to do now, I already showed you the first half, the last episode, and beginning in this episode, why the importance of the resurrection of the dead for Yeshua. He resurrected as a new man, then that's Adam. By the way, you know what the rabbis are saying in the Targums? The Targums is the Aramaic commentaries to the Torah and the prophets. They say that Adam was created in the image of the Messiah. That's very significant, because if that's true, then that explains why Paul is calling Yeshua the last Adam. That makes sense to you? I hope it does. I'm enjoying myself. I love the word of Yahweh. I tell you, it's amazing things when we start putting things together. Now, let's go back to Genesis. We're going to start connecting that everything that has happened all through humanity has already been established in the book of creation, in the book of Genesis. The dispersion, the divorce, all of that already established in the book of Genesis. We're going to talk about that. Marriage made in Eden. What's interesting is the Bible begins with the Garden of Eden, and the book of Revelation ends with the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 50, there are 70 souls that are scattered abroad into Mitzrayim, Egypt, the dispersion. In the book of Revelation, there are seven letters that are sent to the congregation that are scattered abroad. Yeshua sent 70 disciples into the dispersion to give the good news to the world that Messiah has resurrected, that he is the promised prophet and the promised Messiah. So we see all the patterns and pictures there. So in Genesis 2:21 says, and Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Now you see, deep sleep in the Bible can also mean death, and can also mean spiritual slumber. And Isaiah speaks about that. What's interesting is, you see, Yeshua dies on the cross, or the stake, or the tree. When he wakes up, he restores his bride. When Adam falls asleep, because Yahweh put him to sleep, when he wakes up, there's his bride. He didn't ask for her, but there she was. Okay? And also when it says, and close up the flesh instead thereof, a deep sleep can also mean exile, or it can mean spiritual slumber. So healing, closing of the flesh, can mean healing of the exile. Okay? And it says in Genesis 2:22 says, and the rib which Yahweh Elohim has taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto man. And now, in Genesis 2:23 and 24 says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, Isha, because she was taken out of men. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be echad, one flesh. Now, what's interesting is that when we come over here and we go to Isaiah chapter 61, this is the connection now, okay, to Eve. And this is how we can prove that Israel is the bride. Watch this. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, and half of verse 2, Yeshua is quoting this in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. But when we read it in Hebrew, okay, in Isaiah 61, and you go back to the English, you don't really see it. But in Hebrew, you see the connection. The Spirit of Yahweh Elohim is upon me, because Adonai has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Now, let's break down that word good tidings there. The word good tidings in this verse is the Hebrew word basar. B-A-S-A-R in English. Okay, basar. That means good tidings, good news, gospel. Okay, or good news. Then it continues and it says, to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons of those who are bound. Now what's interesting is to understand this verse, first you have to understand what basar means, which means good news. But what good news? To who? Wait a minute. To the poor? To the captives? Then you have to find out in Scripture who are the poor, who are the captives, and who are those people. Then you know who the good news is preached to. Does that make sense to you? All right, now, what's interesting is that in Genesis, when we go back to the screen, and we see the word there, she shall be called woman, okay, but it says before that, flesh of my flesh. The word in reference to Eve that means flesh of my flesh is the Hebrew word basar. So now you start making a connection. Yeshua, who's the Messiah, comes to the earth to preach good news to who? To his basar, his flesh. Who is his flesh? Who came out of Adam? Eve. And out of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, they died. Seth. Seth was created in the image. He was born in the image of his father, Adam. And then from there, the whole genealogy, you can trace Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all the way back to Adam. So therefore, Eve is the original mother, and then we see all these things happening here. So Israel comes from Eve. Israel is the bride. So this is the type and shadow of what's happening in the Garden of Eden to what's going to happen in the future. I'm going to keep going with that, okay? Remember, Yeshua quoted this, and I showed you last show that the Yeshua says, except to the last sheep of the house of Israel, the lost sheep, which is who? His flesh, his bride. Let's continue on that on the screen, please. Now, let's see what Ephesians says. Rav Shaul, Paul, is saying the same thing. Notice what I read you in Genesis. Now he's going to connect it again with Ephesians. The marriage between Adam and Eve foreshadows the marriage of Messiah to his bride. He says in Ephesians 5:23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Mashiach is the head of the congregation. For he is the savior of the body. You see, who is the body? Eve. Who is Eve? Basar. Who is the good news to? Basar. You follow? The body is Israel. especially the ones that were cut off. And the ones who were not cut off, Judah, because they're still idolaters, they need to save the body too. It says, for this cause, verse 31, shall a man leave his father and mother, he shall be joined unto his wife, there two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, this is the great mystery, for I speak concerning Messiah and the congregation. You follow? So in Genesis, he's using Genesis chapter what? Chapter 2? To show us how Messiah came to restore his people Israel. And anybody who believes in the Jewish Messiah and the Hebrew Messiah can be grafted into his bride, into the body of the Messiah, which is the congregation. Amen? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, says, and out of ground made Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And Yahweh Elohim commanded the men, saying, out of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. For of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, disobeying the commandment of God, you shall not eat. For in the day that you therefore you shall surely die. So when they ate of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil, good and evil, they got what? Exiled. They committed whoredom, they disobeyed, right? So did you know something really interesting? I'm going to escape through here because I don't have time. But what's interesting is, did you know that in the Garden of Eden, Yahweh divorced Eve and Adam? Listen to this. In Genesis 3:24 says, and he drove out the man. That is the Strong 1644 in the Hebrew Strong, which means to drive out, to spell, cast out, drive away, divorce, put away. So as we see here that, what we see here is that everything has been established from creation. Come back next time and we're going to talk about more. God bless you. Shalom, and thank you for joining us. I hope this teaching has been a blessing and challenging for you to come back and keep searching and seeking the great things about Yahweh and His Torah. This has been a challenging teaching, and I understand that. Do not believe anything that I say. Verify everything that I say. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can send me an email at wisdomintorah@yahoo.com. Or if you'd like to seek out some of the other teachings that I have on my website, you can go into www.wisdomintorah.com. Now, if you'd like to get in touch with me and send me an email and you'd like to invite me to some of your congregations to share some of the things that I'm sharing on, that I'm teaching, it will be a pleasure and a privilege. Just send me an email. We can discuss the matter. And if you're interested in ordering this show, you can call GLC and you can order the teaching. I hope that Yahweh blesses you and keep you. Now, remember, He is truth. The Torah is truth. Yeshua is truth. Our Redeemer, our Savior. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. And I'll see you next time. Shalom.
This program was produced by and for God's Learning Channel. If you enjoy this program, we need your support to keep this program on GLC. Please make your checks out to God's Learning Channel, P.O. Box 61000, Midland, Texas 79711-1000. Please be sure to designate where your contribution is intended. It is very important to let GLC know which programs you enjoy and support.